I'm officially calling this meeting to order on March 18th, 2008, according to my watch at 7:14, showing that all commissioners are present. Okay, are we going to have that noise that I'm hearing going to cause a problem? Okay. Okay. Well, at this time, normally we would be having open discussion. So that's what I guess we'll do.
Yeah, I would just like to testify that, you know, we had a horrible tragedy here last week, and I was just so impressed by the way the neighborhood pulled together. People that have moved out of the neighborhood came back and also donated clothes, brought money. People that lived here went to their business, to the places where they work, and they let everybody know what happened. And so I really think, you know, this is an incredible rally around a horrible situation. And I think one of my big concerns is that this is, you know, a very micro Katrina. But once, you know, all the big flurry of assistance and help subsides, and we'll forget about it. And there'll be people dispersed that, you know, that this was their home and their community, and they may not be able to come back to this neighborhood. So, you know, I think in any way that the ANC can, I guess, sort of oversee that this doesn't fall through the cracks, I think it's very important.
Thank you for your comments. Since we have nobody out in the audience per se, do the commissioners have anything that they would like to say in open discussion? Jane?
I asked the question, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, but Fentier, the city, provided hotel accommodations for this weekend for the evacuees, right? But nothing was said beyond that, what is going to be provided, right? So, and my understanding is that Fenty came in at the press conference, Graham told us the other night at the oversight hearing, that they were going to, I don't know if it'll be expedient or not, provide for this building to be rebuilt so that the residents can move back. Has anyone heard any more about that?
I showed the flag for the ANC at the big meeting of what appeared to be over 250 residents. There might be 300 in that packed in that building, so 200 was a low estimate. They were really, really packed. Jim Graham kept saying, the mayor promised this, the mayor promised that. And the mayor stood back of him, looking away, very uncomfortable about whether he's going to be able to follow through on all those promises. You could see the tension between the two people. Apparently now the promise has been made to redo the building. I talked with the contractor. He's sort of the Red Adair of apartment fires in the region. And so they've pulled him in because he knows how to do this very quickly. And he says that the building had been offered, I know the building had been offered for sale 2 years ago for $4 million, probably $5 million or so now. And they had over $20 million of fire insurance, which people say is extraordinary. And so they're going to be able to use that to quickly rebuild. Unfortunately, by the law, this means that there's over a 200% improvement of the building, which takes it out of rent control. And I'm not sure the legal standing of the rest of the thing. The paper this morning said that they were going to, and well, Jim Graham quoted the mayor saying that they were going to guarantee all the residents the right of return at their previous rents in a completely renovated unit. The contractor said that their current aim is 6 months because they are used to doing this. The other thing is that there are two sets of rumors going around. That the one is that they have a tape of the perp, that there will be an announcement tomorrow of what they know. And the other is that that night, the residents on the street were telling me that they were just sick about this because for years they have been trying to get security because people from the street go in and bring their bedding and smoke in the basement, and there's no security.
Okay. We hate to cut you off, G, but we have some other people who have come in now. I don't know if they would like to make comments before we get out of our public discussion time. Oh, no? Okay.
Care to introduce yourselves?
I'm Jeff Guttman. I live on Hobart Street. This is my son, Ben. He's got a Boy Scout project where he has to go to a community meeting for an hour. So we probably stop by.
Okay. Oh, so nice. We're a school project tonight. We got to be on good behavior. Good. You know, I just got one point I want to make. When we are making comments in the future, can we not use that word rumor? Can we just say there is some information floating around to the fact of, instead of saying rumor? I just don't like that word, you know, because sometimes we can be, you can get a wrong impression when you use the word rumors. It's more or less like you're carrying something, but we're supposed to be having good information forwarded, so just don't use that word rumors. It's just ugly for me. Any other commissioner have anything else? Or if not, we can move on with the business of the evening. Jack?
Okay, if we can take a look at the minutes. I did make one change in the minutes at Greg's request. Namely, I had mentioned that Greg declined to bring up a motion, indicated that he would have to rule a motion out of order because it was contrary to district law. And he said today he wanted to say that he had also said that it was contrary to current ANC policy, that there were two reasons for his potentially declaring the resolution out of order. That's the only change I made to these minutes. Are there any other, Greg, I assume that this is what you want? Yes, thank you. Are there any other changes to the minutes of the last meeting?
When something is... Excuse me, Jane. Can we get an answer to Jack's request first, please? Okay.
When something is a motion that's out of order, I mean, what does that mean procedurally?
I wrote an email about that to fill you in.
No, I have it. You mean the proposal for the... If something is ruled out of order, I don't understand what that means. If you could just explain it.
Madam Chair, may I?
Yes.
Well, the Chair, according to the standard code, is supposed to rule out of order any motion that is impertinent. That is, that it's not part of the agenda or what is supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. That it is, you know, there's a series of things. That it is prejudicial to another member, that it is illegal, or that it is contrary to standing policy.
So is this basically, I mean, let's just put it this way. The statutory interpretation that was put forth by Gottlieb Simon and whoever the Attorney General and your interpretation, that's a statutory interpretation, okay? So when you start ruling things out of order because of a statutory interpretation or interpretation of the law, that can preclude a lot of things that people just don't want to talk about. So I really don't think that this is a just process for this to say, well, in the past we've done this, in the past we've done that, and there's an interpretation of this for this, therefore this whole motion's out of order. It just seems like a way to close down on things that some people don't want to talk about.
I have a quick answer.
Okay, please, make it quick.
Okay, any ruling of the chair can be overturned by a majority of the commission. So there's a democratic response.
That, that puts the burden on the person that's trying to carry the resolution to now have to come up with a simple majority to keep the conversation going. So I think it's a way of silencing points of view, and it can be abused. And I just think when minutes start getting amended, meeting after meeting, it's a way of revising history, and I think it's an unfair process.
I think I said it.
Okay. Jack?
I do want to point out that this did not go so far as any motion being ruled out of order. We simply had this discussion and then proceeded with an informal discussion of the issue. We did not actually take up the motion. So, in a way, I could discard all of that verbiage about why this was not taken up, because the minutes are supposed to be a record of what we actually did, not of the discussions that led up to anything. So.
Okay, so can the whole thing just be disregarded?
If I leave this to up to the commission, the explanation of the sentence in there. Here's the problem. Jane did ask that the motion be brought up, and it was not brought up. And it seems that the minutes ought to have some explanation for why the motion was not brought up.
I agree.
But to say that it's out of order is unfair. It is unfair to do that, to amend and to set that precedent right now.
You can make a motion to change the policy.
Well, I would like to have that stricken, because when you told me I was out of order, it was when I brought up the re-lawsuit. It was not about the statutory interpretation.
Okay, I don't want you guys to keep going back and forth with this. I just want to know, let the minutes reflect exactly what happened at the meeting.
Ma'am, I move that the minutes be adopted as presented here.
This is
they
unfair.
Can't, Jane, please. They can't be adopted as accepted, as presented, if the parties in there that didn't reflect the meeting. That's what I'm trying to get clear about.
Oh, if a majority says it's the minutes, it's the minutes. It's a majority rule.
I think the statement in the minutes is correct. Now, I think it's a decision of the commission to say, do we want to leave that statement in there or not? Greg has, in effect, moved that the statement be left in as it stands. And I would second
that. Okay, can we vote on that?
Yes.
Okay.
I protest. I do. I think this is a way of silencing people that you don't agree with their point of view. You can't say something's out of order in retrospect when it wasn't called out of order at the time. You can't rewrite the minutes.
That's not what it says.
That's correct. It's not what it says. It says it's used as the subjunctive. It says Greg's opinion was that it would be out of order, and therefore it wasn't brought up. It did, but he did not actually rule it out of order. That didn't happen. So there was no judgment to that effect.
Okay, can we get... All right, but...
This is unfair. This is very unfair. You guys are revising the minutes. You've done it before. It's like white people rewriting the history books. It's unfair. You cannot do this.
All I want to do is to accept the minutes that are accurate according to what happened in the meeting alone. I don't feel there should be any additions. We just need to accept it. It wasn't a resolution. It didn't get passed, or none of that happened. I just want the minutes to reflect the meeting so we can move on. And then we need to take up the bylaws and whatever else at another time, because it seems to keep coming up.
What was the revision?
Well, no, beg pardon. My initial statement in the minutes upon going through the audio was the statement that Greg declined to bring up that motion on the grounds that the motion would be contrary to district law, and therefore he would have to rule the motion out of order. Greg simply asked that two reasons be put in, that the motion would be contrary to district law and would be contrary to current ANC policy. That's the only thing I added, was contrary to current ANC policy as well as contrary to law. And that is, I believe, an accurate statement of what required.
So can I propose a friendly amendment to say, and so...
It hasn't been seconded. We need that first.
To rule out of order should be stricken, because that was not part of the record. It's a revising.
Would you second my motion?
I'm sorry, what motion?
I move to adopt the minutes.
I did second.
Okay.
I did second, yes.
So, may I call for a vote?
The inaccurate phrase to be struck because it was not mentioned at that time, the justification wasn't given, and
I heard you, and I decline your request for a friendly amendment.
So you guys get to rewrite the minutes,
wait a minute, and
the burden's on us.
Hold up. First of all, how do you get to decline her request?
Because that's the nature of friendly amendments. So she is welcome to pose an amendment
and
get a second.
That is correct. That is the correct procedure. She should offer an amendment.
Okay, I propose.
Okay, so we're calling for the vote now.
It takes a 2/3 majority to stop discussion and have the vote. Do we have the 2/3 majority calling for a vote on Greg's motion?
Would you call the vote? When I call for a vote, your response can be you ask for a show of hands whether we're ready to close debate.
Can I get a show of hands if we're ready to close the debate on this issue? Okay. Where are we now?
Then Jane is now free to offer an amendment.
I suggest strongly that we delete the phrase, and so he would have to rule the motion out of order. The rest had been stated accurately. But it was his interpretation that it's contrary to district law.
Need a second to the motion.
Okay, now we've got to vote on that.
And now you have a discussion of the motion.
Okay.
But I think we've had that discussion, and I think the statement has what I've written is an accurate statement of what transpired at the meeting. Greg said that he would, subjunctive, that he would have to rule the motion out of order and consequently declined to bring it up.
I like Jack, I call for a vote on the amendment that Jane has proposed.
I need a 2/3 vote to terminate discussion on the amendment.
Can I get a show of hands on those who are ready to terminate a discussion on the amendment? Okay, we have a 5-1.
Oh, sorry.
Don't beat me on that.
Okay. I don't even know where I was. We have a 5-1 vote.
To terminate discussion.
To stop the discussion.
Right. Now we can proceed with the vote.
Okay. Now can we get a vote?
On Jane's amendment.
On Jane's amendment. Are we going to do this show of hands?
Why not?
Is that okay? Okay. All those who agree with Jane's amendment, can I get a show of hands? Okay. All those opposed? Okay, it's going to be even because I'm opposed. So you have a tie.
Yeah.
Now what do we do with a tie?
Sorry. For the record, it would be helpful to have the identifications because when I'm reading back the audio, obviously I can't see the show of hands.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. Okay.
So those voting...
Those voting...
For
Jane's proposal...
Amendment.
...is Dave, Jane...
And Oliver.
Those opposing is Jack, Stormy, and Greg.
Thank you.
And so you announced the motion failed because...
So the motion fails with a tie. Okay.
No, now we go to the main motion.
Okay.
I call for a vote on the main motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all those who want to accept this as it's written, right? Okay. As long as that's what's correct, I'm for what's correct. Those opposing it, I'm sorry. Okay, those opposing is Dave, Jane, and Oliver. Those for it, Jack, Stormy, and Greg. So it fails again. Is that not correct?
Yes. So we don't have approved minutes for the meeting.
I'm confused about the fact that we just can't accept what actually happened and the way it's supposed to be. But anyway, so where do we stand now? Do we go on from this? How do we do our minutes?
To the tape. We can go back to the recording and see exactly what was said.
Well, my suggestion, Madam Chair, to answer your question, if I may, briefly, is that we can take it up at our next meeting, and there will be time for us to think about it and perhaps correspond and check things. And that will give us a chance to reflect. And we can just move on to other business.
Well, we're going to have to move on to other business, but I don't see what we're going to check. I mean, Jack has always done an excellent job on his translating the minutes from the audio. You know, my point is, if it's the fact, then it should be accepted. But we need to go ahead and...
So, I mean, what we can check is what happened.
Okay. Well, we can go back and check it. It just needs to be concurrent with the minutes. That's my point. Whatever happened, that's just what it needs to say. Okay. So, Oliver?
Yeah, I think we just have to go back to the previous how that
already is on your microphone.
I mean, before the change, it was changed after something was written there. So I think we have to go by what was there before the change.
I agree. That's what I was saying. As long as exactly what's there is exactly what happened, and that's it. That's my thing. Okay. So we have to... I've never had this happen before, so we have to move on with the minutes not being accepted and to be brought up with the first order of business at the next meeting. Okay, moving right along. We have the treasurer's report now.
Yes, you had an email that a bank statement came in.
Which I distributed to all.
Which is where? So for the treasurer's report, we now have $56,000, $56,024.95 in our checking account.
I would like to report that Jane and I sat through a lot of other ANCs being grilled last Tuesday night, and I think we were the only ones that got off on for not being slapped around for our grants policy and for our large budget.
No, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think we were the last for Ward 1, and I think that what they systematically did was ask ANCs how much was in their treasury. And if their treasury exceeded like 20, 30, I was there for 8 and 1, right? I was there for 2 or 3 hours. They said, why are you not giving grants to the community? Why do you have so much? And commissioners were chastised that had balances of $60,000, were chastised balances of $40,000, and they would explain that they had vibrant grant programs. And as a matter of fact, I felt rather embarrassed about our AMC because we have across-the-board grant policy that we're not giving anything out to anybody. And I would not be able to explain that.
Okay, I'm not going to have this treasury report turn into an issue going back and forth about the grants. We'll be getting on that later. Right now, I just want to make everybody see the treasury report. We get our report on where the money stands, okay?
I move we accept the treasurer's report.
I second. All those in agreement to accept the treasury report, show of hands, 6-0, we accept the treasury report as submitted. All right, where are we?
Committee reports.
Is Commercial Corridor reporting, Greg?
Actually, the main thing I wanted to report, besides the things that are in, most of the other reports are contained in the various resolutions, but there is one that is not. Unless people are willing to do a one-sentence suggestion that we ask that there be a safety lane right away put in back these large apartment buildings. Guess not. Okay. I spoke with Diane Grooms Saturday morning, and she introduced me to the new inspector, Delgado, who had been in 302 and had occasionally been assigned over here. And she instructed him as an order from the assistant chief to the new inspector to reconstitute the apartment program. And we discussed which apartments might be included, and I suggested that Harbor Towers be included as one of them. She also, by the way, said that she is in favor of statistical treatment of raw results, of raw data on calls for service and the like, to compensate for the large factor of under propensity to report from lower socioeconomic status. That's the end of my report.
Okay, do we have a report from Planning and Consultation Committee? No? Web and Internet Coordinators? Public Safety and Security? Public Education?
Okay, I'll report on that. I have nothing to report that is new regarding the tables. I informed Fred Salloway that there was resistance to this and that it was in dispute whether this would be duplicative of the what the schools would fund, although we don't know what the schools will fund because we never got a detailed budget so far. And I said I would push forward and meet with the science and literature and library teachers at Bancroft to see what they have in mind for literacy programs, science programs, and contests, and I have not had the opportunity to do that yet. We have been allotted a miserly amount of 100 for a fair housing get-together, and I would hope that we could put some money into an allotment so that when I talk to people at Bancroft and when I talk to other people in the community that it won't seem like this vicious cycle that I come back with proposals and they get denied and come back with proposals and they get denied, but it seems that that's the vicious cycle that we're on right now. I wish we could break this cycle.
I'd like to ask the Public Education Committee, is there a reason that we're only focusing on Bancroft and not the other schools?
What other schools? As a matter of fact, across 16th Street, I found out on Sunday, across 16th Street, the Lincoln School has no library books. They have no library books there. So I don't know if you're talking about a regional thing or what you're talking about.
Actually, I was talking about Bell and Lincoln. You know what? I never even asked. Are they in our area?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
Because they are in our area, because our area includes anything that affects us. So the Hilton Hotel's policies, because it's the only hotel, affects us, and therefore we can do that.
Okay.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Has the Public Education Committee had a meeting?
It's only me. I've solicited members to join.
I volunteered.
So are you now a member of the Education Committee?
Only the chair is designated. I think the rest are volunteers. They can't be designated by the commission.
They can be or can't be?
They can.
So are you putting yourself forward as a member of the Education
Committee? Yes.
So what's the process now that you can now proudly join the committee? What do we have to do?
I have nothing to do. He's just volunteering to be on the committee. You're the chair of the committee.
So I say, okay, welcome?
Pretty much. Welcome.
Call a meeting in a public space to publicize it for the public to attend.
Okay. And that's the way it happens, huh?
Yeah. And that's the way that, because the function of the committees is to talk with the public and then to report back with suggested ideas or resolutions.
Yes, because that's what I wanted to ask. If you could have something where you can speak to the public and get back with the ideas that they may have so we can have a clear picture, because a lot of the things we as a commission cannot do because the public school system is supposed to provide those things, but there are some things that maybe other people in the community would like to see that the community can and the commission can support.
Okay.
But not everything that could be donated to the public schools would be provided by the public school system. So it doesn't preclude everything.
Right. That's why I'm saying we need to get a listing for us so we can have clarity on that issue.
Madam Chair, 1 minute.
Yes.
I continue to be very active in with the educational programs around in the area. I have had discussions in the last week with the officers of six of the schools about their needs and their interests of what need to be done, and found out, by the way, that this is a prime moment for helping Bell Lincoln with their library, because it can be, in fact, the public policy is to integrate it with the Ward 1 library, with the local libraries. And it's just a matter of us getting them together. And there's some resolutions to do that later on.
Actually, Jack, we have inquired about that, and it's not true that there's an integration. There's still separate entities, and that policy is up in the air. That's why the schools' libraries are abysmal and the public libraries a little less abysmal, because there's no effort to combine and there's no policy in place to do that. Everything's in disarray. So if we treated it as a separate entity, not dependent on the public library, I think we'd have better success.
Then I was misinformed by the manager of the library, by Richard Helpine, and the former manager, Ellen Carty. Perhaps you will share with the commission your sources.
Okay, so can we, Jane, say that you're going to get back to us and let us know when you're going to set up a little meeting for the public to get your input from the public?
Yeah, I just have one question. Are members of the public who would like to join the committee, what is the process for that, for them joining the committee?
Can the public just join the committee? Yeah, they can just join the committee.
They can? Okay.
Okay. No further committee reports, no further questions on this issue, and we're moving on to unfinished business.
Well, we can do the consent and priority agendas first.
Okay. Is it the wish of the commission to do the consent and priority issues first? Okay.
I would propose the reopening of Mount Pleasant Street as a consent item.
And I agree.
I was looking at this list and reading the resolutions, and I didn't find anything that couldn't, on this list, that couldn't be a consent item. I think we should choose which ones we don't want to be on the list. That would be a shorter.
Okay, why don't we go through the list and check off which ones we agree are consent items? But I think we do need to look at each one and make sure that we understand what we are referring to.
I agree, and I like the process we came up with in our last session, where consent means all but one vote. One negative vote will not...
That's great. It's got to be unanimous.
Well, before we... David proposed, and we accepted his process of... since we discussed it a little bit, then let's get it out of the way, and if there's one vote, that then we can proceed.
So let's go to the list, and if any person thinks it is not a consent item, that person speaks up, and then if that particular item then goes to new business instead of consent.
I'm proposing two. If two people say no, then we don't.
Okay, so we're going down the list.
Just adopting what I thought was a really good idea by Dave.
But my understanding of consent is that it is unanimous.
That's in the standard code.
Yes,
but we can overrule that by establishing our own policy.
Okay, well let's start off reopening Mount Pleasant Street, advising reopening Mount Pleasant Street even partially, which I think is an interesting aspect of it.
Well, one way of doing this, let me suggest, is that we just all show hands.
But I do think it takes I'd like to take a moment on each one and do just what it is.
Okay. Oh, our better idea was your idea, and show hands of those that don't want to consent.
Okay. So this is to reopen Mount Pleasant Street, suggesting in particular that even if we could open just one lane, we could restore the bus routes and truck delivery access to Mount Pleasant Street. Is there any objection to this being a consent item?
No.
No objection. Mount Pleasant Group's social events. This is Dave's idea of having an experimental informal community social event, et cetera, to talk about, to basically get the neighborhood groups to talk to each other. Is that correct, Dave?
Does that include the your acceptance of the condition that it be one time?
Oh, one time, yeah.
Okay. And so we don't need to set up a special committee or anything?
No.
Okay.
If it works, we can think about more.
And it does specify that this would be on the 15th of April.
Yes. They haven't worked, in my experience, before, but I think under your expert tutelage, they might. I mean, you should give you a chance.
I think it's willing to... I'm willing to give them a shot. Any objection to this being a consent item?
No.
Okay, no objection. Visitor parking passes. This has to do with a bill that is close to being passed and opens the door to an experimental parking pilot program in Mount Pleasant, Jim Graham's work. This would be the easier part of that, namely, instead of requiring people to go to the police station and get passes for their visitors, people could simply request the passes, and each household had the pass. And what is most significant, these passes would be useful for household employees as well as visitors. At the moment, there is no way for a household employee to legally park on a residential permanent street.
Quick question and comment?
Yeah. Yes.
Great.
Thank you. Jack and I went down and spent 2 hours with Jonathan Cass and hammered out this is a compromise between all three of us. And so and I should say this is the result of really months, if not years, of work and former resolutions. I did hear that from Alice Kelly today that it can be for free if we ask for it, and I suggest we do, because that's what's been done in Ward 4, and so we could ask for it. So I'd like to suggest if we adopt that, then it would be with that friendly amendment. And secondly, I'd like to suggest something else that we ask for it to move to a program of telephone access, which Jonathan Cass has been looking into and has found some best practices on. And just, we commend that, not to require it, because that would make it very convenient, because a lot of my neighbors don't have access of cars to get down even to the place. It's difficult for them to do so.
Yeah, let me point out that there is a Ward 4 program already underway to this effect. So it's really easy for us to piggyback on that Ward 4 program. But I'm making one important change to that. Namely, I'm proposing that these visitor parking passes be available to all residents of Mount Pleasant, not just those who live on RPP-zoned blocks.
Yes. Jack, would you go to Alt-V in for normal? Because my eyes haven't been working well lately, and I just can't focus and see it. And I need a Zoom because I cannot read it. I'm sorry, but I'm a little disabled. I'm sure nobody can tell that I'm adult.
Well, can we?
Is there any objection to this being a consent item?
Would you accept those two friendly amendments?
I will fold them in. Yes.
What?
Yes. To make them free and for telephone access.
Yes.
Those are the two. Yes. Fine.
Good.
I will incorporate that.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody agree with those that to be a consent item?
Okay.
Employee parking passes and visitor parking passes?
Okay. This one is going well beyond what is currently proposed for Ward 4. This would be a little bit harder, quite a bit harder to get through. But I have fought for a very long time for our school teachers to be able to park in the neighborhood. At the moment, they simply seek out the unzoned blocks and park in those unzoned blocks, which is a terrible burden on the residents of those unzoned blocks. And I am forever hearing from residents saying, let's zone our block around Bancroft. And I point out to them, it can be a real hardship on Bancroft. What would be great would be if we had employee visitor passes, employee passes, so that the teachers could park on our residential streets. Daytime only, weekday only, which is the time of day when there is a good deal of parking available on our streets.
I'm sure everybody will
Greg has something to say.
I would like to add employees are contractors, since many of the home businesses use contractors as their preferred, as their mode, and so the actual employee status, that would be a small change, and I think it would help a lot of people that that actually use that other form. Would you be willing to accept that?
But wouldn't a contractor be an employee, though?
Not, no, there is a, it's a very contentious legal difference.
Oh. Okay.
Would you be willing to accept that friendly amendment, Chuck?
Okay, surely.
Okay, good, thank you. Then I agree.
Yeah, everybody agree for this to be a consent item?
No objection. Okay. Dave, this is yours, which has been hanging around for some time, support for tenant-owned co-op conversions.
Well, on this one, we were waiting for a response to the actual details of maintaining it as a low-income building, and we haven't had that response, so I think we should postpone this.
Okay. Or Dave, would you, just to, so we don't carry it on our website, and would you, you know I'll promise to support it if they come through with their 40 promise. Would you drop it so that we can clean off our books and then introduce it again when
sure,
they show up?
Sure, we can reintroduce it.
Thank you.
Yeah, technically it has never been introduced. It is just carried on the new business
so
list.
So,
yes.
I'll, you know I did the same last
yes,
time,
yes,
just to
yes,
clear
yes,
out
right.
everything.
We do tend to carry it along.
Okay. Thank you, Jake.
This is the grant for Bancroft, which will not be a consent item. I'm certain of that. Can we proceed on that, as
yes.
I say, Andy?
It won't consent because it's still in debate.
I object to it, yes.
Yeah, there will be objection, so it can't be consent. We can come back to it, but it's not consent. Second monthly meeting policy. Dave, this is yours. Do you want to proceed with this?
Well, I just see this as a statement of how we actually have been operating, at least for the last meeting. I don't know if anyone has a problem with it or not.
I do.
What would that be?
Well
it's not a consent item if it's not unanimous.
No, I thought he said it needed two negative.
Well,
there's a longer discussion that I'd like to go through on this. I think we can be close to getting the thing. And Jack and I have discussed the pros and cons of this. And since we have so much other business, I'd like to.
Do we have a second negative?
Yes. Okay. And let's move on because I.
Okay.
It warrants further discussion, so I think it should be under new business rather than consent.
Park Road Sidewalk.
Park Road Sidewalk Width. This has to do with the one section of the sidewalk. This is on the east end of Park Road on the south side where the space between the sign and the wall is less than the 36 inches required for ADA. It's only the one point that is less than ADA.
Yes. I would like to make my own friendly amendment if it comes up, which we could probably do right now. And just to say, after talking with Karina Ricks, she said that, and I would like to use this as a reminder to her agreement, that she, when they're about to redo the 1600 block of Park Road, and she promised that they would relocate the utility poles and the like in order to increase maximally the right-of-way all along that area. And if we could agree to that, I think, minor addition to ask that the commission ask that all the other poles be and blockages be realigned to maximize the width.
Well, that's different if you talk about maximizing space versus achieving the ADA requirement.
Well, they're sort of on the same issue of trying to get so that people can pass by.
But as you pointed out, there are problems when you put the signpost close to the curb.
There is another, as people see, there's another one. So,
this is not going to be a consent item. So we'll move on.
So let me just say that if there can be consent on this as it is, let's go with it.
Yeah, let's consent on this one, but there is another one which deals with
that's
more
right.
detail. Are we agreed that this is a consent item then? I assume so.
Then we're on the next one.
Okay. improvements to the 1600 Bluck Park Road. Greg, this is yours.
Well, as it's noted, this has been discussed at great length over many years by Always On Pleasant, by the Park Fair Tenants Association, and John Wade, the president of Park Row residents. And with John Wade, I went up and down the street to make sure that everybody on the street knew about it. He's sort of the mayor there and knows everybody. And this is the list of things that that people would like to widen the sidewalks to 8 feet, to remove the current nuisance trees. That is deeply wanted there.
Let me propose. I'm going to object to this one as a consent item because I think it requires a more careful inspection of exactly what would be
okay.
involved.
And is that?
Because they were agreed that this is not a consent item, is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, we have two objections, so that's enough.
Okay.
Pleasant Columbia Heights Loop.
Okay, Greg, this is yours again.
Would you take over? I'm getting a little dizzy. Let me take a little rest. And.
Yeah, this is the notion of making the streets, the major streets in this area, into a closed loop joining Columbia Heights and Mount Pleasant. That is, it would be 14th Street northbound, then west on Park Road, and south on Mount Pleasant Street, east on Irving Street, thus making a nice closed loop, which has the advantage that it couples Mount Pleasant with the development area on 14th Street.
Can I check about buses here? About one-way streets? What are you talking about?
No one-way street. It's just a shuttle.
A fixed fee service, which is what Greg describes as a jitney service. And in a way, this fits into what's happening to our taxi cabs, because we've got a lot of taxi drivers who aren't going to be happy to go to meters. This would be a non-meter taxi cab the way we currently have non-meter taxi cabs and essentially function in a single zone. It could be the right time to try to do this.
Let me also add that this came out of a negotiation with a bunch of. I had interviewed 100 drivers that are unhappy. Many of them are unhappy with the meter changeover. And this came out of a long discussion with Jonathan Cass and David Vaca of the Graham's office, and with support from a variety of others, like Alice Kelly says that she's interested in, Cheryl Court is interested in it, a bunch of others. And so all this will do is, all this resolution will do will be to give us a way to continue to lobby the Taxicab Commission and these others to give this as a pilot program.
But can this be a consent item?
Is there any objection to it being consent? No objection. Northbound 16th Street to Park Road turn. This is the issue which I have been pushing for many, many years since I was young and naive. That is to say, instead of that, when you're on northbound 16th Street and you want to go west on Park Road, you're supposed to do the loop around that little park in front of the Sacred Heart Church, which doesn't make any sense because, as the Columbia Heights traffic study showed, that one portion of a block of Park Road, that is where the northbound 16th Street merges into the existing Park Road traffic, that is the lowest quality service of any section of Park Road. It's grade F because you get huge congestion there. Why not just let the vehicles turn left off 16th Street onto Park Road, which has the advantage of eliminating that rapid traffic that goes down Pine in front of the church and makes that particular stretch very, very hazardous. In fact, they've got DDOT has the sidewalk blocked with bike racks so that pedestrians won't cross Pine Street, which I think is utterly absurd. If you took that traffic off Pine Street and just let it turn left from 16th onto Park Road, the only traffic going on Pine Street would be the people who intend to park there, which is to say practically no traffic at all. And that little park could then become pedestrian accessible, those bike racks could come down. It would make this whole area much more civilized. And this was incorporated in the Columbia Heights traffic study recommendations, and that's now been 4 or 5 years ago. And I think we're getting there, but it seems to be taking forever.
Quick.
Well, we've
Oliver.
Got a couple. Use the microphone, please.
Isn't Park Road at the moment one way? Sure.
Yes, this is consistent with that.
Oh.
Park Road is one way.
Yeah.
Westbound.
But on 16th Street, are you turning left or right?
The northbound 6th.
Oh, yeah. Left.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people do the left turn anyway. You
will do
stand
it.
There, you will see the buses legally make the left turn off 16th right. Street. I've seen police cars make that left turn, and I've seen a whole lot of drivers fail to notice a no left turn sign and make the left turn. So it can certainly be done. But once again, is this a consent item, or should it be under new business?
Any objections?
No. Consent item. Thank you.
Wow, such togetherness.
Uh-huh. The single sales ban, I would not want this to be a consent item. This is a tricky issue.
Why not? I would.
Do we have two things? Are we that willing to? I mean, this is a very contentious issue.
But we've discussed it for years and years.
Do we have two negatives?
I don't see any negatives. Is this a consent item?
Yes.
Which means that this will go in as something that is unanimously approved by this ANC.
Right. Yeah.
I am truly impressed.
Let's move on, Jack. Don't tempt fate.
I am impressed. I mean, you don't know what we went through 2-3 years ago when we went through the renewal of the single sale bin.
Stop talking. Let's move on.
I'm savoring the moment, Greg. I'm savoring the moment.
It's like getting the gravy. You're going to get it on
me. Bus shelter for Park Road and Mount Pleasant Street. Jane, this is yours. This is for that little triangle park.
This is to get a bus shelter at the place that's the corner of like where Mount Pleasant turns into 17th Street. You know, the little park on the left. Because there's no benches and there's no shelter, and the buses run infrequently at times, especially the H buses.
This would be in that little triangle park,
It'll
right?
It'll be in the triangle park. So maybe we could give DDOT a nudge. Are they the ones that would do it?
Yes.
Consent.
May I just make a quick report? I talked to Alice Kelly about it, and she thought about it, and she says, "Yeah, I'll just do it because it's a good idea, and you asked me to do it." But she said it wouldn't hurt to have an ANC resolution on it.
Okay.
On the next one, we do need it. But
next one, Joel.
Okay. So then this is, by the way, you could have done that just by asking.
This is a consent.
In this case.
You can get the schedule for the alley pavement. Yeah. I can't get anything from DDOT.
Okay. They have to know who to talk
with. Let's stay online here.
Okay. Bus shelter for the stop on Park Road next to 16th Street. This is yours, Greg. Do you?
Well, if there's no objection, I don't think it's just another one. And let's.
But it's trickier.
Yes, it is. It's the H8 bus. It serves a couple of thousand people that are nearby in that bus stop. And John Wade and I went by and talked with the Park Monroe, out of whose parking public space this would be. It would take a few feet, and they had no objection. Likewise, we talked to a bunch of the others about widening the sidewalk, taking some of their parking, the public space in front, and the attitude of the general attitude we got from the managements is that it's less for them to take care of, and that it would beautify the street and help them.
So this would actually intrude on what is now Park Monroe property.
No, not it's of their parking. It's not.
This is what I got laid out here, Greg. Because the parking is only about 3 feet wide.
I think it's a little larger than that, but
right here, got this open spot. It's a natural spot to put. I mean, there's plenty of space for it. It's an ideal thing to do. But the parking is just this little stretch here.
Well, they said they wouldn't mind, and the attitude of the others is fine. And I talked to Alice Kelly, and she said that. Many of the bus shelters in the city have been cut out of public space. Some of them have asked, they've asked donations for, you know, a few inches or a foot or two. They've been generally good about getting it. A number of them, they've had to come in and actually make a cut in the retaining wall, so that requires a little more budget. In this case, they don't have to do that. This is not one just for asking, but they.
This is the location.
Yes, it
is. This is a little grassy spot here. So, and I think the limit of public space is only about 3 feet in, which means that probably not in space.
Actually, it's a little more than that because we went and looked. It's So I think it's very close to being doable, and I talk and we went and talked to the management. So it doesn't hurt to ask.
Absolutely,
and,
absolutely.
And there's,
I agree.
There's
okay.
You know, all those kids at the schools and the like. It's.
I'm involved in favorite shelters wherever
okay.
you can put them.
Good.
Okay. Then that as we read it, that one is a consent item. Okay. DC Public Library should alert ANCs on planned changes in service. Craig, this is yours.
I put this in as a result of a request from the Friends of the Mount Pleasant Library, the Federation, and also Always Mount Pleasant. When I talked about it at the library meeting the other night, I don't think there was any objection from, certainly not from the audience, and the only thing I got from the library staff is, we intend to be, this is a new administration and we intend to be much more open. Well, I think getting it in writing will help.
Well, I don't think anybody has any objection to that.
No objection. Okay. Advice of the Public Library Board for a more systematic upgrade of the Mount Pleasant Branch Library.
Again, this is the result of 3 years of work, and it is supported by. And you all see that I included the resolutions of AMP and Richard Huffine representing the Friends and the Federation of Libraries. And it was also, by the way, I think broadly supported in the meeting on the 20th. So I think it could be a consent item.
To temporarily hold up on renovating the library.
Well, we're asking that rather than just rushing pell-mell into the thing, which would essentially preserve the current configuration of big reading rooms, mm-hmm. which you can't share. And this would say, let's go slow, find out what the opportunities are, and consult people around the ward, and you know, and see if we can get a little money to do the thing right.
And ask what the public really needs and wants, right?
That's right.
Okay. Is there any objection to this being a consent item?
No
objection.
It's a do.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. I don't think this is going to be consent.
No, that'll certainly take some discussion. But you're.
Well, I didn't see why it couldn't be, because you can always change things later. About if you argue about 10% or 15% or 20%.
I think we should take that under discussion.
Well, if there's no objections, let's
object.
Do it. One.
Do we have two objections?
This is the revision of our bylaws concerning grants.
Okay, that's not all.
Okay.
Oh, is that for this one or the tree box? Oh, okay. I'll object to
that. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Dave, this is a swell rule you proposed.
One more time. Okay. So that would be a new business item. Removing the hazards from the tree boxes.
Sure thing.
I think everyone is.
I could have died.
Yeah, really. Do you want to specify those iron rings? Are those specifically the issue? Or
I really want them removed because some of my neighbors have said that when they've tripped and fallen and they've gotten their foot in and they not only fell.
That should be, of course, any fencing, any
yes.
Railroad
right.
ties, anything.
That's right, anything. And this is broadly supported by, I spoke with the new president of Main Street. They say that they want to phase them out, just rip them out. Todd, as vice president, and Aaron Eisendrath said pull them out. Lots
okay,
of other people.
Okay, so I think we're agreed this yeah. is consent item. Okay. Study requirements for a greener environment. Greg, this is yours.
Of course, this is something that we've talked about a lot, but it has one new thing in it, and that is that I think we should go to WASA. They're having a meeting, and I forget when. I'm sorry, Dave, you perhaps know when their meeting is. It's coming up this week, and the opportunity is to ask them to consider some regulations so that we could, in addition to having the big trees, get a rebate for all the runoff that we don't put into the sewer system but divert to a greener environment. And I think the way I phrased it, it would also enable us to have that as an income stream to encourage greener buildings that recycle the runoff and in effect, give us an opportunity to have an innovation zone for Mount Pleasant where we could handle our own runoff.
It certainly won't hurt to introduce that idea.
That's all this will do. This is not legislation.
Yeah, I don't see any objection to this.
And with that, I invite anyone to go with me, and I need moral support to go to the WASA meeting and present it to them.
We have to find out when it is, right?
Yes. I'll send you an email okay. about it.
So this is a consent item?
Yes.
Is that correct?
The next one is...
Attract, back, and loosely regulate diverse vendors.
Yes, it's a short fuse because the closing... I'm sorry I didn't prepare a testimony and so on for this, but it's pretty important. Everybody may know that we used to have a lot of vendors, and they got chased off. And this is an attempt... This is something that I discussed. Most of these items were worked out when I worked for Frank Smith 10 years ago. They've been worked out in several meetings with the vendor guy, his name Williams, I think his last name is, and we've attended several meetings, and I've talked with a lot of vendors, and again, this isn't going to be legislation, but at least it forms a framework for a discussion that we can put in and try to get some of it.
I'm not objecting to it being a consent item at all. But you know that there's a bill now introduced, a very restrictive bill. So we had a press conference at the district building on Thursday in the morning with the vendors and went door to door to the council members to vote against it. But it was emergency legislation that Fench introduced would be really where there would only be designated areas for the vendors. They would have to use carts that are designed, and they can't use their carts anymore. They would have to buy new equipment. They would have to have insurance, and they would have to show a lot of things, and it'll drive...
It's disastrous.
Yeah.
I would accept a friendly amendment to add on a statement that we oppose that legislation. Yeah,
essentially, it's corporatizing the vendors, kicking out the real vendors,
right.
And bringing in outside corporations.
As you see, this is just going in the opposite direction of that.
Good. So, add something if you want.
Could you draft something right now so we could... Because we need to do this before Friday.
I think this is good as it stands. We could come with something else later, too.
All right. Because we don't have a lot of time. And I don't have... Well, never mind.
So are we declaring this a consent item?
Hardly.
Yes.
Last one.
Expand and synergize local programs for parks, rec, libraries, and education programs.
This, again, is another one where I've been working on it for a long, long time. The ANC has passed resolutions, AMP has passed resolutions, Main Street has passed resolutions supporting these things. And in December, I was called in by Clark Ray, the new director, and we worked out these things as the first items were all things that we negotiated as things that he would accept. The second set of items is things that he said he would support and that he wants to work with us on. but and I've also talked with the most of the staff of Harry Thomas and about it, the staff of Jim Graham, and I think we have a real chance of getting something that would be really quite wonderful here. And again, this doesn't, it's not legislation, it in effect says let's move forward.
Question. You mentioned adding the children's playground at 16th and Lamont.
Yes, $300,000. If we don't...
Let me ask the question. There's already a playground at adjacent to Sacred Heart. Is this in a different location?
No, it's the same one, to add $300,000 to upgrade it.
See, this is add a playground. There is a playground. What you're saying is...
Change it.
Upgrade. Friendly amendment.
Upgrade.
Enhance.
We got it.
Upgrade.
Enhance.
I like the word upgrade.
Upgrade. Okay.
It's more. It's salty.
Okay, so that's going to be a consent to?
Madam Chair, I move the motion to accept all these as consent items.
Don't hear any objections. So they're consent items.
Then all the consent items are accepted by unanimous vote. That is the way it works. Okay?
Okay.
Now we can return to the items which were non-consent.
Yes. Dave, have you ever seen your rule? New rule provided us with a really smooth way. Chuck?
I didn't have a new rule, Greg.
Well, you had suggested it last time. And I'm okay. Trying to work with you on it, obviously.
I do trust that Stormy kept track of which ones are non-consent.
I try to. Starting with support for tenant-owned co-op conversions.
I think that's one that Dave decided was not yet ready.
Oh, he's not ready on
okay.
that one?
Okay. Then grant for Bancroft.
Grant for Bancroft.
Jane, are you going to introduce that as a new business motion?
I would like to, and I would also like to say that I know this whole concern about duplicative equipment that's forbidden by statute. Although my limited understanding...
Point of order. I mean, are you making the motion?
For what?
For the grant for Bancroft.
Yes.
Is there a second to the motion?
Does anyone second?
Do we have a second? Well, we need a second to go into discussion.
No seconds? Nobody wants to talk about funding for Bancroft?
I would immediately make a motion to strike it because it's contrary to our policy.
Well, I would like to talk about it.
Yeah.
We did last determination.
Time.
In the absence of a second,
no let's second. Move on.
Yeah, we got to move on. We need a second for any discussion. Okay, so... We're at the second monthly meeting.
The second monthly meeting policy. Dave, this is... This. Okay. I think this was...
At least Jack and I have asked that we delay this. I'd like it delayed because we've agreed to do something through the 15th of April. We've essentially accorded to your... And I'd like... That means that we could take it up and... In the first meeting in May.
That's fine.
So you're not going to introduce this motion at this time, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
If you want, I will move that it be tabled until the first meeting in May.
Well, then it would have to be introduced and seconded, et cetera.
But he didn't say he used to. Yeah. So I'm not. So, you know, I just offered that. So let's move on.
Okay. So... I have 1600 block of Park Road improvements.
Uh-huh.
I need help on this.
Okay, Greg, you're making the motion and I will second it.
Thank you. Would you read it for me, Chuck?
For discussion.
Resolved, ANC 1D advises the District Department of Transportation to plan for and implement a widening of the sidewalks bordering the 1600 block of Park Road so that they are at least 8 feet wide, including signs, poles, and tree boxes. To remove all of the current nuisance trees and replace them with trees that will grow tall and provide good shade, and to install permeable pavement and water retention mechanisms to assure the good growth and continued health of the trees. I guess my question about this is it practical to achieve 8 feet in width?
John Wade and I went and looked, and it is. We went up and down either both sides of the streets and looked. It will require the condition that that Lucille Cotard put on it is that it not touch the any of the wheelchair access ramps. And we made sure that it did not. John and I both know, and Lucille knows too. Lucille, their building is having a fight with the Sacred Heart School because they put a wall on their fire exit so that in case of a fire they can't escape safely from their building. So they have some conflicts, but it would. There is a concrete rise in front of the Sacred Heart School that would be removed. Talking with Cass and today with Alice Kelly, these are the kinds of things that they frequently run into, and there's no problem because this would be a major link between Columbia Heights and Mount Pleasant.
Well, let's be clear about this. This is a photograph.
Yes.
Of that sidewalk, of the south side. This is a photograph of the narrowest portion.
Yes, and you can see where the right-of-way starts. It's the line of buildings over to the left.
Yes, that's the point, is that increasing this to 8 feet from its current 3 feet means a really huge chunk taken out of the frontage of all these buildings. That's what
yes.
you're proposing.
That's right.
So you'd have to take a strip of the yards.
Yes, but it's owned by the district. And all this does, once again, is that it gets it on the agenda for further discussion.
And the individual buildings can objectively work.
Yes. And it's going to be subject to...
I did have one question that got me curious. What are these nuisance trees? I mean,
ginkgos.
Everybody has a different... ginkgos are not nuisance trees in the city
well,
anymore.
Then I don't know if they're ginkgos. All I know is that... this is
they're
my
not
district.
They're not ginkgos.
What? I actually was planting ginkgos for the city on Monroe Street.
Then I misspoke. I'm sorry, Alamegi.
But everybody has their own definition. It could be mulberry, it could be box elder, of what is a nuisance tree. But if it's big and has a large crown, replacing it with a spindly new tree doesn't buy you a thing.
Well, these trees are not full trees. There's one that is that... that's set way back, but it is upsetting the sidewalk, and it also blocks the storm sewer. So that what happens is that when there's a lot of water, well, then there's flooding in the street and on the sidewalk. But the trees are not in good shape. And
we should get the Department of Environment to take a look at them.
Well. And this, again, all this does is just enable the thing to move a step forward. Wade knows that he has to actually get the majority of the residences on the street signed up to his petition.
Okay. Now, I just pulled up the surveyor's chart of Park Road. And I guess I'm wondering, is it really possible to get an 8-foot sidewalk there without going into the road itself? I haven't been out there with a steel tape, but it seems to me that the width of the roadbed is 40 feet. Is that
No, it's. I think it's 32 feet, and I measured it from a satellite photo. It's not that much bigger than the other ones, but again, I will take that back because my memory isn't working well, Jack, and I don't want to. I'm tempted to say things that where I don't have a recent distinct memory, so let me withdraw.
And I
that.
Guess I'd like to get out there with the steel tape and really make sense of where this 8 feet is going to come from. But I'm all in favor of wide sidewalks. I'm just not sure what
we're proposing. Well, that's up to the city planners too. This is just a suggestion.
This is what the local folks are asking for because I think it would serve everybody in Mount Pleasant and for that matter many of the people in Columbia Heights because it's a heavily used street and it's really quite obnoxious. Whatever the fruit is, it comes down for for about a week, and it's very slippery, and it's a large, it's a fairly large crop, which you wouldn't expect given how small the trees are. Except there's one tree.
Would you be amenable to having this reed 6 to 8 feet instead of 8 feet?
Let's compromise 7. Please.
I mean, I'm all in favor of as much side oak as we can get. I mean, if we can get 8, fine. I'm all in favor of that.
If we ask for 8, we'll negotiate with them down. So.
Yeah, I would go with it as it is.
Okay, I'll settle for that.
Good.
Okay, so can I get a show of hands for this closed discussion on this issue?
Closed discussion.
Okay, discussion is closed. We're ready for the vote. All those in favor of this resolution, show of hands. Jack, Dave, Stormy, Oliver, and Greg voting yes. And Jane abstains.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So it passes 5-1. 5-1 is...
What else do we have that's a non-consent, Stormy?
Bylaws.
The bylaws?
And maybe people would allow me to put in this extra one that where the topic is, shall we say, hot, to ask for an investigation of the possibility of a emergency or a fire vehicle access behind on the buildings between 16th and Mount Pleasant Street.
Are you trying to include that in this?
No, it's a separate.
Okay, one. Well, can it remain separate until we deal with what we're doing first? Thank you.
Yes.
I would suggest we look at this bylaws in the next meeting.
It's fine with me.
My question is this an amendment to the existing bylaws or an addition?
It's both.
I think we need to take a closer look at that. All right, that's a good question.
I've already accepted the friendly amendment.
Yeah, so we've got some time here. Let's rephrase it so that it does... So it's clear where it fits into the bylaws.
I would appreciate, I take Dave's motion as a second and as a friendly amendment to table it until the next meeting. And I accepted that, and so we're ready, so far as I can tell, is a vote for the motion to table.
All those in favor of tabling?
To the next meeting.
Oh, unanimous to the next meeting.
The only remaining business I have, as I said, is the is this one that has just emerged to ask the city to investigate the possibility of an emergency vehicle right away on the buildings between 16th and Mount Pleasant.
And just as you said it, I think that's that would do it.
May I ask unanimous consent for that, then?
Anybody object to it being a unanimous consent? See no objections.
I move adjournment.
Yes. Second motion for adjournment.
The meeting stands adjourned at 8:32 p.m.
Wow.